Last night, I asked you to continue to pray for me, and I say don't stop right now. I'd like to pick up where Elder J.C. left off last night. If you weren't here last night, it was a wonderful meeting. It was a blessed meeting. And making mention of the fact that we have still yet empty places in our pews, not everyone that could be here should be here. And I don't make excuses why somebody can't be here, but if they're in a bed of affliction, that is a good excuse not to be here. And Brother JC's got a most excellent excuse not being here. Hope you don't mind the arrangements that Brother Clayton made, but Bridgman, you were in the arrangements stated yesterday, regardless of the fact that the preacher didn't show up or not. But Brother Clayton said, well, we're going to eat late today because we're going to go into the afternoon. Because it reminds me of a time when Brother Kenneth and I were over in Norristown, Georgia. And those people didn't worry about what time it was to eat. I think it was about close to 1 o'clock when they started sitting down to the table. But that you shouldn't speed up the message that's laid on my heart. Because I got things that I'd like to emphasize that Brother J.C. spoke on Peter's denial of the Lord 3 times before the cock crew, twice in the morning. You know, Peter, and just to bring those that were not here, if you hadn't watched the telecast, Peter boldly said, I'll fight with you, Lord. And then he took swords, and when the Lord was arrested, he took a sword and smote the ear off the high priest's servant. And the Lord told him to put it up and said, if you use the sword, you'll die by the sword. It's a perishable thing. So he was admonished. And imagine what Peter's ego felt like then. He was peppered by the Lord's admonition that the Lord said, y'all will all be offended in me when I'm taken. And he definitely was offended in what the Lord had told him. Now, I'm going to be in John chapter 21. If you'd like to follow along with me, I'll read a lot and I'll expound a little bit. But let me say this, that Peter, realizing his denial of the Lord at the third time, the Lord told him you most certainly would, he went out and wept bitterly. Now, you see, the Lord peppered Peter about his stand. He said, in fact, one time he said, you savor the things that are of the devil than the things that are of God. And he not knowing, and those disciples not knowing the full extent of his departure from them. As I spoke about when the Lord told him to let not your heart be troubled. And that was in John chapter 14. They didn't understand. It wasn't given unto them to understand. But even Jesus made mention unto them, when thou art converted, he said unto Peter, strengthen the brethren. And so that came a later time. And at this time they were concerned about the Lord being crucified. And then they were made aware that the Lord was risen from the dead. And they began to envision him. The Lord made his appearance unto them. In fact, he made himself appear unto them in 2 occasions prior to this 21st chapter. And as I think about how we are, when we know that God exists, he's sitting on his throne, Like these disciples saw the Lord risen. They said, well, he's risen. He's gone back to heaven. What can we do now? And we see in verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciple at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed him he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So they were all grouped up together, and what do you reckon they had in mind? Were they going to be like what the Lord had called them to do, or were they just going to take up and do whatever it appealed to them in that occasion? As they followed the Lord in his ministry, they followed him. Now they see as though there is something different about Jesus as he is risen from the dead and made himself appear unto them two occasions prior. In verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now you remember when the time when the Lord chose his disciples and called them, there were Peter and Andrew and James and John mending their nets on the shoreline. For they were a commercial fisherman, and they used those things that they had to mend to provide for them and their families. And the Lord said, I will make you fishers of men. You know, many times I've preached the gospel. Many times I've seen some had come asked for a home in the church. And I've seen several down in a Pleasant Hill Church. Many of those that had come forward to present themselves for baptism, and then not many over at Little Vine, but you know, there's a young brother now named Brother Mike Miller. I believe I threw out a net and I caught him. You know, the Bible says that we're to be fishers of men, and brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul made mention of many times that he had begotten many sons and daughters by the gospel. And I believe that it is important to realize this, that as many of us go our way in this world, what is the most important thing for a preacher to do in this life is to be a fishers of men. But here, Peter says, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Where is the service of God in that? What was their calling when the Lord called them and they dropped their nets? Where was that? Did it all go out the window when the Lord was crucified and was in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights and been risen from the grave, risen from the dead, and been made his appearance unto many of the disciples? And many of the disciples saw the empty tomb. And what was in their mind when they say, well, we'll go with you. We'll follow you, Peter. Peter seemed to be the most outspoken one, the one that the Lord always directed his thoughts to, his words to. And Peter was the one that would speak on their behalf. Brothers and sisters, all the ministers here that have our attendance this morning, we speak on the behalf of God's people. And we are here for that same purpose. As Brother Bridgman preached unto us prior to, that we are to preach the gospel. Whether it's in season or not, we're to preach it. But I'll tell you what the purpose of the gospel is as I conclude this chapter here. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. You know, imagine when man goes the way that he seems right unto him, it does not bring forth any fruition. Nothing is brought based on man's works. And there's many those in this world seem to think that they might want to help God into making God's children. And God said, that's not your place. because it will bring nothing about it. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, you know, you ever heard of people that say, well, I like to go hunting, and I like to go fishing, and I like to be out in the nature, and that's where I can be one with God. Brothers and sisters, you're not one with God because he's on the shore. Are you in his house this morning? You know, that's where he said to forsake not the assembly of yourselves. As the manner of some is, there's many of God's children that do forsake the assembly. And if it were not so, then why are these benches still empty? Because they have forsaken the assembly of themselves as a manner of others. I feel like I'm stepping on toes, but I'm not. I'm just trying to encourage those that are here that they might encourage others. Amen. You know, I believe that everybody here is a minister. Well, I say, well, I've not been called to preach. Well, you may not be qualified. Especially these sisters are not qualified to preach from behind this pulpit. You're not qualified to be elders. But you have a ministry. You have something that you can share, you elderly women to the younger women, you younger women to your own children, you brethren to the other brethren. We can encourage one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has called us that we could serve one another. We're fixing to go into communion. And one of the biggest things that I remember that we should do is the feet washing portion. And that's serving one another. That's ministering unto one another. And I'm going to continue on. That the Lord's on the shoreline. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? You know, I remember this sermon being preached by Elder Kenneth Cadle over at Arlington Shady Grove Church many, many years ago. Elder Carlton Todd was a pastor. That saint's already gone home, both of them, to be with the Lord. But I can still remember a lot of good things I've heard in the past. It's going to become a day that I'm going to be going home. I don't know exactly when, but the Lord knows. And it's likewise with your own pastors. We're not here to live on this world forever. But while we bide our time, we have something we can be doing. And Jesus said, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said, and this is the word of the Lord. He's telling them exactly what they should do. And whatever the Lord tells you to do something, it's going to happen. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. He knows. On the right side is where the fish are. And here they were. And they cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. I tried to put an answer to why is it 153. It's not different kinds of fish. It's just they're described as great fish. He said, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. You know, sometimes when you feel like when you're in the Lord's presence, you feel like Adam, you're going to cover yourself up. Because he's worthy to be praised. Too often, some people come to church and they want to expose everything they have. Brothers and sisters, I think we need to learn modesty when we come to the house of God. That is the most important thing. We shouldn't be showing off what we are, but we give honor and praise. You know, I used to think about, my daddy would tell me, you need to wear a shirt and tie to church. I said, why? He said, because you're going to the Lord's house and you present unto him your living sacrifice. And if it's the best you have, you put it on. And so I took that to heart from a little child growing up. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were the 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. The Lord already had food for them. They didn't have to prepare anything. The Lord had already prepared a meal. You know, when we come to the house of God, let us be praying that the Lord be there to provide unto us what is already prepared of Him. Now Simon Peter went up and drew the net to a land full of great fishes, and 153 and three. And I want to say they were not different fishes. They were great fishes. And what's great is representative of who God is. God is great. And for all there were so many, yet not the net broken. See, God's able to hold it together. You know, this church might one day again burst at the seams, but the Lord can hold it together. Let's pray for that end. And Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it that it was the Lord? But they've already seen him on two other places. Isn't that something? He walking with them on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know it until he opened their eyes to see it, or their hearts to burn within them, the things that the Lord showed them. Presenting themselves in a room where he just walked into the room. There was no door to open. He just walked right in. You know, there's some people might say there's a door in your heart, you have to open it up. No, he walks right into the room. And he takes his abode and shows himself to one who doubted. Aren't we more blessed than him? We haven't seen him, but we believe. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself unto his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter. Kind of seems like when the Lord gathers with his saints, it seems like it's at a meal time. You know, it was at before his death, was at a meal time. It was the Passover meal, and then he instituted the Lord's Supper. Every time we sit down to worship God, we ought to consider that it's meal time for our souls. May we be fed with the things that God has for us, that we might grow thereby. But here's the important thing. A lot of commentators make mention about the three times that Peter denied the Lord. Jesus always seemed like, it's time to pick on Peter again. Well, Peter seems to be the one that stood up and spoke out and spoke for. He wasn't shy. He wasn't timid. He was bold. He was very bold. If you remember the time after the day of Pentecost where the Spirit of God came down with the sound of as a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire was upon their heads. And there was gathered together a great company of folks, Jews devout from all different corners of the world to come to Jerusalem to worship on that day. And were they not fed that spiritual food that day? Who spoke? Peter. And when they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Remember a long time ago, Brother Tommy preached that sermon over at Little Vine one night. Some people say, you got a crazy mind. I can just draw from deep wells and pick up things. And Jesus Christ, Savior anointed. I remember that specifically, that Tommy emphasized, Jesus Christ, Savior, anointed for the remissions of sin. Nothing that we did remitted our sins, but the baptism signified in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Savior anointed for the remissions of sin. He's the one that remitted our sins. We didn't do anything regarding that. We just answered a good conscience toward God. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou? I looked that word up. Zakapeo. That's the perfect love of God. That's the greater love that hath no man than this, that a man lay his life down for his friends. That's the kind of love Jesus is asking Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? And I'm not sure exactly if it's the food that he ate, or is it the friends that he had sat down with, or is it the fact that he just loved to go fishing. Well, whether it is or not, he said, do you love me more than anything else? Do we love him more than anything else? Well, I see the evidence of many of us here do. And Peter's response is, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And that's translated to be philios. Can you imagine that kind of natural love that we have one to another? That's called Philadelphia love. That's the brotherly love. He loved him in that aspect, because he grew to know him for the past 3 years that the Lord had called him and followed him, until he witnessed his death and witnessed his resurrection, and then witnessed him sitting down to eat. Yea, Lord, I love, yeah, thou knowest I love thee. The Lord knows our state of love for him. Sometimes I think when the Lord asks us, just like he asked Adam in the garden, he said, where art thou? He knew where he was. But it is important for us to express ourselves to God where we are with him. It's giving an account. It's confessing him and not being ashamed of him and not being confounded by that. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Brother Bridgman talked about his sheep, hear his voice. They don't know any other. Something about starting out with lambs is the little ones. Lambs grow up to be adult sheep. Someday. Sometimes it's good to start with the babes in Christ. They're the ones that seems as though desire that sincere milk of the word. Did he tell him to go out in the world and make children of God? No, he said to feed my lambs. I've already got children. You to feed them. Feed them with what they need. You want to show, brethren, preachers, if you want to show how much you love the Lord, you need to get in there and start feeding God's sheep. I hate to say I'm preaching to preachers, but there's several here. I need preaching too, brothers. He saith to him again, the second time. Once should be enough. He told him plainly, yeah, Lord, I love you. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Same love, akapeo. He saith, unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him. We'll see the love that Peter expressed back. It was philios again. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The way a minister demonstrates his love to God is to serving God's people. And feeding his sheep is serving God. You know, Peter's made mention on occasion in one of his epistles that he said that I was one of his under-shepherds, of that chief shepherd. May we do it with the same meekness and humility that Peter was taught by the Holy Spirit in his ministry toward God, to God's people. That we don't take the oversight of it. We don't take it for granted. This is important business, brethren, that we be mindful to do, to feed his sheep. You love him, show it. He saith unto him the third time. This is the last time he's going to say it. But the third time, seems like, reminds me, there were three times he denied him. Three always comes with the uniqueness about it is that it. I think about the Godhead, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. I don't exactly fully grab everything that regards in the threes, but I know that three is one. When a husband and wife get together, that's two makes one. When God's together, it's three that makes one. But it's just one God. Remember that. We have one God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. He saith unto the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now look, when he said it in this instance of love is philios. Look it up. I have a Strong's Concordance at the house. I got one on my phone. I remember that from Brother Cadle's sermon. He knew how many times that Peter had told him twice that he loved him in a way that a brother loves a brother. That's a close relationship. You know, there's a man that hath to have friends, he must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I think the fact of the matter is that even though David and Jonathan were not blood kin, they were closer than brothers. May we be close to the Lord in that aspect, that we can just say, if you die, I feel like I'm dying myself. Peter was grieved. My Lord, did you ask me three times? Here I am, told you. Simon must have forgot he denied him three times. Sometimes it takes three times to get the Lord point across unto one of his disciples. And he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He quoted the Lord. And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. And we know the Lord knows all things. He's all knowing. He's omniscient. It's not in the Bible, but it means the same thing. He's all knowing. Thou knowest that I love thee. And it's in the philios way, the brotherly way. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Everything that Brother Bridgman spoke about regarding what other people say about making people children of God, this subtracts it all. Because we're not here to regenerate people by gospel means. We're here to feed those that are already his people. We're to be fishers of men. We're to forsake the things we like to do that we might do the things that we love. You know, we like to do a lot of things. But we love the Lord. And may we do the things that the Lord has called us to do. May we support the services of the churches that we are members of in the best way that we know we can do. That's the way you show your love to the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. And I'm going to show you an example here that we're not supposed to be mindful of what our brother or sister are doing or what they're not doing. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter, when your time comes, you're going to be offered up just like I was on the cross at Calvary. You think you want to go to the death? Just serve me as I have told you, and it will come to pass. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. Every one of us here has been called to follow the Lord. Amen. When he called us from a dark condition of nature into his marvelous light of grace, should we not, because of what he has done for us, show our gratitude to him by following him? Amen. And it's not so much his gratitude, but our love for him. For we love him because he first loved us. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following. This is the one that leaned on his breast at the Lord's Supper and said, regarding the one would betray the Lord, he's the only one that said, who is it? Seems like the rest of them said, is it I? Seemed like his faith was strong. It says, which also leaned on his breath at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? I told you last night we're to mind our own business. Don't be concerned what your brother's doing. If he's got a calling of God, he has something that he has to deal with between him and the Lord. You have your work to do. Go do it. And Jesus saith unto him, if I will, that he tarry, that is to wait, till I come. Sit on the stool of do nothing. I promise you, John did not sit on the stool of do nothing. He had a work to do. And the Lord, I believe, has already blessed his heart to know it. I think Peter needed three times to remind him what he should do. What is it that to thee? Follow thou me. Then when this saying among the brethren that that disciple should not die, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Don't worry about it. This man's name is John. because he reveals himself. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things. Sometimes it seems like John, when he wrote his gospel, it was always John being in the third person. That's a humble way of representing yourself before others, because you feel like you don't want to put your name out before anything else. I believe this gospel was named after by somebody else who had read it and wrote it down to be preserved, that this is the gospel according to John. And we know that his testimony is true, and there are also many other things which Jesus did. This is after his resurrection. Can you imagine what he did while he was on his earthly ministry for 3.5 years? Which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. We're just given a synopsis. It's like when the Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and as she approached him, and he said that the half had not been told neither of thy wisdom. And did you know that she's going to rise up in judgment at the end of time? Imagine that. We've only have a small synopsis of the things the Lord's given unto us to understand his thing. And there's a lot of things that's written in the Word of God that I don't understand. But I understand a lot more than I did 30 years ago. I understand a lot more than I did 25 years ago. And I understand a lot more than I did 20 years ago. When I started preaching 20 years ago, and it was over 20 years ago, I think it was 96 when I was liberated, and 98 when I was ordained, I was learning then. But you young brethren, I'm still learning now. I'm still learning now. And I give God the honor and praise and glory for what he has given unto me. And I pray that he give unto you that little bit of understanding. It was written over in Isaiah, precept upon precept. Precept upon precept, twice, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. We can't grab the whole thing in one basket. But even the Apostle Paul said, I know in part, and I prophesy in part. But there's going to be a day when we will know as we are known. But that day hasn't come. That day is on the day of resurrection. When this mortal must put on immortality, this corruption must put on incorruption. And when death is swallowed up in victory, and we will be changed, not exchanged, changed, and we will be fashioned as it is predestinated before time that we will be conformed to the image of our Savior. We will not have one inkling of sin in us. No desires of the flesh. No desires of this world. No wonderment of what's going on as we go away. It'll all be wiped away like amnesia. And what we'll see is all that he has in store for us. And we have eternity to rejoice in it. And our pitiful little throats will not get tired of singing his praises, because they will be made perfect in his image. May God bless you, is my prayer.